Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing some news stories. Other things have come up. There's more to talk about that's new in the MCU. All that and more than that, we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair today, we have the wonderful Melissa Khalil. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. Good. Happy to be here as always.
Super happy to have you, my friend. Super happy to have you. And we're going to be doing a little news and feedback today, but we're going to start off by mentioning, we talked about the podcast awards a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
We did get into the final top 10. So thank you so much.
Is it 10?
I think it's the top 10. In our category.
Well, we're in the final slate for the TV and film section. So if you said when you went to nominate that you would volunteer to vote and, they sent you an email saying, hey, it's time to vote. You got to go vote and vote for us.
Got to do it.
Yeah. Apparently, so if you say you were willing to vote, they then like pick the top 10,000 or something like that and send those people emails so they can vote. So not everybody can vote. So if you get the opportunity to vote, please vote. We would really appreciate it. And also just thank you so much, guys. That's like incredibly rewarding to be in the top 10 of that. Like people, the listener's choice.
It's crazy to have gotten into the final slate with all the other podcasts that I keep hearing, their names when other people talk about podcasts and we're up there with them.
Yeah, super, super cool.
Big time.
We hit it, guys. I got a stalker.
Don't we all? So if we're in the TV and film category, if you get an email asking you to vote from the podcast awards, it means you were part of the nomination process. Just please follow through and vote for us. It'd be great. The other little housekeeping thing to up top is we had two people win shirts recently that I don't think we ever said on the show. KL Bucks won a shirt for reviewing Animation Deliberation. And I think we just had him mention it on the Animation Deliberation, but I realized we should probably mention it here. So KL Bucks on Apple Podcast app or whatever. And then Westport Official won a shirt for reviewing us on the podcast app. So if you are KL Bucks or Westport Official, write us a message on mcucast@gmail.com. That would be wonderful.
Oh man, I just went back and looked and it's really funny. Katie Cat 317 said, don't listen to other reviews. Jeff smells great.
That's you though, right?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's you.
Yeah. No. Maybe.
It says very clearly, maybe. Jeff Randall said.
you're Katie Cat?
Yep. You know, I've been holding on to this for a while, but it's time to lay it all out. I have an alternate personality who is Katie Cat 317.
Nice.
It's weird that's your alternate personality or whatever, because like it said, I looked at it today and it said Jeff Randall says.
No.
Are you sure?
I wouldn't type something like that. Come on, man. I'm better than that.
I feel like maybe somehow you got your username and your visible name to the public might be confused, because I could tell this afternoon that it was Jeff Randall when I was looking at all the reviews.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how. I just didn't see it.
It could have been, I mean, oh, that must have been, somebody edited it to make it read a little better and not look like I said it. Someone did that, probably.
Okay, good. Thank you guys for the reviews. Appreciate you. And please hit us up for those. But let's get into the news. Let's see. We got a few big things going on. Hugh Jackman this week denied the rumors that he will be returning as Wolverine for the MCU.
Good.
Why good? Why good? Already? We're already at good?
Yeah.
Haven't you let me read the whole story and you're like just jumping in and downing old Hugh Jackman?
No, go ahead.
He was in an interview with a show called Jake's Take, I guess an internet show. And he said That the fact that I am hearing about this from you, and there's nothing in my inbox from Kevin Feige, means it's probably, no matter what idea I came up with, not on the table. So he's asking him, like, what would you like to see them do in the MCU with your Wolverine?
Good.
But we know that he had a meeting with him.
Do we?
Yeah, do we?
Yeah, there was a meeting. There's a picture with Kevin Feige and Hugh Jackman. It could have been about something else. Could have been about Star Wars. Could have been about anything, you know?
I don't think that was a meeting. I think that they just happened to be in the same room, and they were like, hey, let's break the internet.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know that was a meeting, because, like, Logan was such a swan song, such a great ending to that character. Like, we don't need that particular Wolverine back. Like, we don't need to bring that one in. And honestly, I would like to see the X-Men without Wolverine, you know, the mutants in general, come into the MCU without Wolverine to give some other mutants a chance at spotlight, rather than it all being about Hugh Jackman. I'd like to see it be more about the team.
I'm 100% with you on that. Like, I think that Wolverine has been too much the spotlight character. I do love Wolverine. I do think they've, like, kind of overplayed his hand over the last 20 years. And so, like, all of the things we, they've overplayed his claw, if you will,
yeah.
over the last 20 years. So it's like, yeah, I'd like to see what an MCU Wolverine would be like, but they've kind of overplayed the hand of all the major ones. You know, I feel like Professor X has been overplayed. I mean, by two different people already. Yep. Same thing with, you know, Magneto and, Most of the, you know, the headline cast that we all know has been played by multiple people, kind of retold their signature stories in different ways multiple times. It's like, we need some of that fresh blood of the X-Men to be told a little differently and a little fresher.
Yeah. Like, I don't want a Phoenix story, you know, three movies in with the X-Men. Like, give it a minute. Let them breathe. You just uncorked that.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's one thing if you're three Jean Grey movies in and you get to the Phoenix, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're in you've had 20, just like, you know, you think about like Civil War or something where you can get to a Civil War story. It's only the third Captain America movie, but you've had so much time with Captain America in the Avengers movies and so much time with Tony Stark in the Avengers movies that, like, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And even then it's a much reduced story from what's in the comics. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like, it's nothing like the actual Civil War. It's basically just Rumble at the airport. And I freaking love it, but it's Rumble at the airport.
Yeah. It's Rumble at the airport, and I'm here for it.
West Side Story's non-musical edition at the airport, but, like,
oh my God. Think if they had met Star-Lord before that and, like, just decided to have a dance off instead.
Oh yeah. That would have been nice.
That would have been so much better.
Or if as they approached, Star-Lord was snapping and they're like, what are you doing?
I think that's right? The storyline for an upcoming What If episode, is it not?
Yeah.
What if Star-Lord had snapped through the Civil War airport battle? I like it.
It's just, we need somebody to do some, like, some hell of an editing job, mm-hmm. and take that Star-Lord dancing montage from the beginning of Guardians 1 and just put him in the airport.
Yeah, I feel like he is even doing some snapping at one point. Like, I feel like you could make that loop.
He probably
happen.
Was. Mm. He could have one of Hawkeye's arrows and be singing into that.
Yeah, if Hawkeye fires an arrow and he does that, you cut it with that Chitauri it's Loki who catches the arrow in Avengers, yeah. But it's like Star-Lord catches the arrow and then puts it in front of his face and starts singing into it before it explodes.
Yep.
So
that
silly.
Would be so silly.
So that would put
we
him
were
on,
talking about the X-Men.
Yeah, Wolverine.
On Iron Man's team. I feel like he'd be on Cap's team, right? Star-Lord would be on Cap's team.
Star-Lord wouldn't be on either team, I feel like.
Well, I mean, if we're talking like pro Accords, anti-Accords, I think that Star-Lord would go more for autonomy, like personal autonomy. He would
I think
go
so too.
AI
he's a
Accords.
Ravager. There's no way he's joining the Accords.
No.
He also isn't a superpowered being, though, so.
This is a hell of a tangent.
Yeah.
He is a superpowered being.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
We got Hawkeye and Widow, who aren't superpowered human beings.
True. It just depends on what his story is up till now. If he didn't if he's not in space at that point, like if this is the same reality where T'Challa got picked up instead, like what if Star-Lord become? You know what I mean? I'd like to see the inverse of that, because Star-Lord still has celestial DNA. Like, what does he become just living in his town, in a small town?
Oh, that's so great. Oh, man. I want to see the other half of that what if story. Like, we got a decent one with the first episode where, like, you know, Captain Carter did her thing, but then Steve still showed up. Like, Steve didn't just go, you know, fuck off forever, because he still got to be a part of things. But, like, what happens to Peter Quill? Not even Star-Lord. What happens to Peter Quill?
What if, creators, take this one for free. You should just have an end credit sequence of every what if episode should just be like the other character living their life. If they didn't, like, the thing didn't happen to them. Like, in this one, it's just Star-Lord, like, working at a bank or whatever.
He's a bank teller.
Yeah. No, he works at that Dairy Queen that the seed was behind.
Ew.
He just lives in, Pawnee, Indiana, and he falls in the hole.
That's the alternative timeline.
Yeah, it is.
He falls in a pit.
Parks and Rec is the same universe as T'Challa's episode of What If.
That makes complete and total sense. Because do you ever see Chadwick Boseman in Parks and Rec? I think not.
You don't. You don't.
Can we say for certain that it's not the same universe? I don't think we can.
I don't think
Mephisto
we can.
Confirmed.
Okay, let's move on.
We have made a hell of a tangent.
Yeah, really? The Mephisto is the thing where we're like, all right, moving on.
Always the thing where I'm like, well, all right, we're moving on.
Yeah, Mephisto is Matt's sports.
We're talking about, like, Star-Lord being West Side Story.
Yeah, no, that's all fine. That's gold. That's what canon. We do here.
That's MTU cast canon.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
All right. So, no on Wolverine, yes on all the X-Men.
That's yes, where we, I mean, that's I'm yes on Wolverine, but I just don't want him to be the only character they focus on. I would like to see, you know, a life given to all the other characters, for sure.
I want Mr. Sinister. Gimme.
Oh, but to actually speak to this story, which we're just talking about what we want from Wolverine, like, to actually speak to the story, I also just don't think that if this was a true thing, that he's going to reveal it on Jake's take, right?
Yeah, like, no,
this
could
easily be a lie. This story means nothing. We've talked about it for a long time, but this story means nothing.
When you can never believe things that come out of actors' mouths, especially when it comes out of, like, for Marvel stuff, like, because they're just told to lie.
Lie,
like,
to us. Lie to us, Marvel.
You don't want Kevin Feige coming after you.
Oh, yeah, no. He would wreck you. That looks like a man that would wreck you. Like, your career, your life, your body, all of it.
Why do you have, like, him, Kevin Feige, built up as, like, some sort of crazy hitman in your mind?
No, he's not a crazy hitman. He gets other people to do that for him. That is the most powerful man in Marvel right now.
Kevin Feige is the kingpin of the MCU.
Yes.
Honestly.
Hugh Jackman's in his office, and he's like, when I was a boy,
I worked on the X-Men movies. It came out also this week, another little news piece, the Marvel's standard agreement. It's been reported that Marvel's standard agreement is that comic book creators are given $5,000 when their work is adapted into the MCU.
That's it?
Yeah. And this has been a big, like, uproar on the internet of, like, well, that's not enough. what do you guys think?
I mean, it's tough. Because, like, in the beginning of the MCU, they didn't know if anything was going to really work. You know, it was a big struggle.
It's a gamble, yeah.
But at this point, it's pretty well confirmed that, like, Marvel writes checks. Like, if it's got the Marvel Studios logo, a check is being written for it, and it's probably going to be a high grossing film.
Right. Mm-hmm. Pretty likely.
It's just like, how much really do comic book writers deserve, I guess, for making those stories that, like, they never, like, the MCU is never a direct translation of a story. So it's like, it's inspired by a story.
Right.
And, you know, maybe people ask for that story, but like, does that warrant, you know, something like what the actors are getting or something like what the screenplay writers are getting or, you know, probably not what like Kevin Feige's making, but he's got more money than, probably needed at this point. I'm assuming he's making bank.
Do we have like an example of like one of these characters that was used?
I don't think so. So the articles that I've read, it basically just like is a general thing. And like there are, they did talk about in the articles, like there's something called like a special character exemption where a comic book writer can petition Marvel and be like, I created this character and they are significantly different than anything else you have. And then Marvel gets to make a decision whether they want to make a special relationship for that character. And so it's possible that there are, and it is definitely that there are some creators who are getting paid differently for certain characters, but like, it sounds like it's hard to know. Cause if you think about it, like, oh, by the way, it's $5,000 and a ticket to the premiere, which is like, I mean, I guess that's better than nothing, but that's the thing I think about this story. Like for a long time, comic book creators got nothing for the movies, like in any other comic book, movie companies, because they got paid for making the comics and then the movies were completely their own thing. And the comic book, and since the creators, the comic book companies own the stories, they weren't paying them anything. So this is better than nothing, which is what they're making before, but it's still like a pretty big disparity when the person who came up with the idea for the story, like let's talk about something like Black Widow. That story, that movie is pretty similar to the comic book Black Widow. I mean, like, there's some differences, major differences that you guys talked about on Source Pages.
Source Pages.
Yeah. So, like, they took huge chunks of that story and put it into Black Widow. And it's like, at what point is that like almost a direct adaptation? Civil War, I mean, it's named after the comic book Civil War, but the story is way different. So it's like, what warrants more or less? Like, I think a case can be made, and there probably needs to be a better system for like awarding such types of money, because $5,000 does not seem like enough.
Like Ed Brubaker, renowned comic book writer, very much known for his run on Captain America. He created the character of the Winter Soldier in 2005, and
wow, it's that late, hey?
Yeah, it's been that long, huh? But no, he created the Winter Soldier and apparently has made more money for his cameo appearance in Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Wow.
Than he was paid for actually creating the Winter Soldier.
Not a good look.
Not a good look. When these movies make $1 billion and you're paying the person who had the nugget of the idea $5,000, it's just like, that you can't even fathom the disparity there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember him posting, I think I saw it on Twitter whenever, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier was coming out on Disney Plus, where Brubaker had said like, you know, of course today it's the premiere of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And it's great that I see, you know, this character that I put so much of my time, into, but like, the most I've gotten was like a thanks here or there. And that's becoming harder and harder to live with.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh God, like it's hard to say that he deserves a ton more for like creating this character, but like he's a bit of a prolific writer and his name is like in the comic book world, especially his name is huge. He wrote the Death of Captain America arc. Like you could say he killed Captain America after Civil War. Like it's a big deal.
Absolutely. It's tricky.
He deserves more. Like if his cameo acting role is what's paying him more than, you know, from like more than what he got when creating the character, like yes, he obviously deserves more money.
Sure.
Because he made this iconic character.
I think that's true, but also the reason that you give him that cameo is to make sure you're paying him something. And like it's kind of a weird trick workaround because you want to like they want to have a small, because like, so let's say a comic book creator says, well, you pulled this one line that he says from my comic, so I want a, this much money. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It kind of makes sense to have like a baseline that you sort of build from. But if you're building an entire movie or a franchise off of someone's work, like the Winter Soldier, for instance, you know, but it's interesting because like the Winter Soldier is like an event sort of in Bucky's story. You know, he becomes the Winter Soldier and then becomes Bucky again. So like, is he, so that's like a part of his story, but it's not necessarily his whole story. You know what I mean? It's like an event that happened to him, like a big chunk of his life. It's, yeah, it's, that's, and that's the problem. It's impossible to sort of calculate all of these things.
Yeah. I think it's something that we, as non-financial professionals, are not qualified to discuss.
True that.
For sure.
Other than to say, like, they deserve more.
Yeah. And that's what the internet is all kind of up in a roar, in an uproar saying. But it's hard because, like, if that's their standard pay, maybe that comic book writer that did come up with one little line, maybe that is what he deserves, $5,000, you know? Maybe that's a great payday for them if they, like, wrote this book 15 years ago and, like, oh, they used a line, $5,000, great. But then if it's, yeah, it's just hard. It's hard
to... I'll take 5 G's.
Yeah. And especially...
if they're just handing it out.
For a long time, these contracts just said, like, we own what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's still what the contracts say. I think these are more just like, we are acknowledging that you deserve something, so here's something. So we don't get in trouble for this later. But they're still getting in trouble for it because it's not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've reported on it before. Disney's kind of been known for, like, Disney, rather, has been known for being a bit tight-fisted.
Sure.
Penny pinchers and whatnot.
That's how the rich stay rich, man.
That is how the rich stay rich.
Never mess with the mouse. Never mess with the mouse.
Never. Never. Okay, let's hit our next news story. We've got a couple other things here. Brie Larson confirmed in an internet video this week that The Marvels is now in production. She said she loves being on set. She grew up loving Disneyland, and being on set is like being in her own Disneyland, like just being on set and seeing the world as if she's in it. She described the sets, and I like this, she described the sets as bigger than you can imagine. And
bigger
I'm like,
than you can imagine. I can imagine some pretty big shit.
Yeah. Like,
I feel like that's a bold statement on her part.
Better not be getting my hopes up. Like, cause I have a pretty big imagination. I'm thinking of some pretty big shit right now.
Like, I mean, I came up with, like, I was able to come up with Melissa and Brie Larson having pillow fights at their sleepovers. So, like, I can come up with some pretty big stuff.
Yeah, that was some pretty epic, epic stuff you came up with.
If only that would have happened. If only that wasn't a fever dream. I could ask her all the questions we're wondering.
See, I was trying to find the time when Matt was saying, like, you know, they've started shooting, and like, at what point do I say, you know, did you see her off at the airport? Like,
did I send her to set? No.
Yeah.
Did you? I did not.
Did you give her a hug before you sent her off to set? That kind of thing.
Yep.
Did I give her a high five and be like,
nice kiss?
Kill it today.
Yeah.
Kill it today, Carol. She's going
higher, further, faster, baby. Higher, further, faster.
And she does the thing. And you're like,
She like gets on her private jet and leaves.
Yep. No, she just flies away. She just takes off herself, flies away. She has the powers.
She can do that. You think it's special effects, huh?
Nope.
She can actually do that.
She's actually binary.
Also in the news, Brie Larson, reported by a known associate, can fly.
Confirmed.
Reporting that on the MCU cast.
Oh my god. Okay. Did she have any other news on this story other than that it started shooting? Like anything about what's her name? Teyonah Parrish?
No, oh, nothing
crap,
about that.
What's
yet.
Her name?
But the other big thing about it was that Sam Jackson also posted this week about. He said something like "good to be back" or something like that, and it was him taking a picture of the hairpiece for his mustache and beard for to be Nick Fury.
He doesn't grow that?
Apparently not. Yeah. So
seems odd.
Yeah, it's weird. But it appears that he is also on set at the same time that Brie Larson's talking about being on set, and they have not started shooting Secret Invasion yet. So it appears that Sam Jackson is going to be in the Marvels, which had not been announced, but he, like, him sharing that picture sort of implies it.
That's awesome.
So, yes.
We're assuming that this movie occurs after the events of WandaVision then.
Yeah.
If the actress who plays Monica Rambeau in WandaVision is in it, right?
Yeah. Tiana Paris.
And she is, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
She has been confirmed to be in it, but so has Iman Vellani. And that's why it's, you know, a series of Marvels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Marvels.
It's a set, a trio?
As much as I like the name The Marvels, it is, I feel like as a casual viewer of these movies, it would be kind of cheesy. Like, Marvel, yeah. They're making The Marvels, you know? Like,
yep.
I've been watching Marvel movies all this time, and now they're making The Marvels. It feels like they're going to be like a 60s doo-wop group or something.
I hope so.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They're the background singers for when Peter Quill comes in.
Well, Peter Quill.
They're scatting.
Peter Quill comes in snapping next to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, of course.
Yeah.
Who's also joined the verse by then, and they're both snapping. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and it's dancing.
Like Spider-Man 3, right?
Exactly,
like the emo Peter Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
he's doing that dance that he does.
I cannot wait to watch those movies again soon. I'm very excited. We're supposed to cover them on Bingers Assemble soon, and I am super pumped.
Oh, God, that is soon. Fun.
Yeah, we need to get started on that eventually.
Yeah,
it's okay. We got like 4 months. It's fine.
We have plenty of time with, you know, a completely open window to be able to record those things.
Lots of free time coming up.
Yeah. So the last time we saw Tiana Paris, the character of Monica Rambeau, she was being told that a Skrull's superior who is in an upward direction from where they were, wants to talk to her. And we assume that's Nick Fury, because he's, you know, been shown in space as far as the ending of Spider-Man Far From Home. It's Nick Fury that's far from home! Anyway, obviously that means that Captain Marvel is going to be in space, and then Monica Rambeau is going to go join him. But how does Iman Vellani come into this? How does Kamala Khan happen? Like, how does she get roped into whatever
we don't know anything about her yet. We'll know a lot more once we see Miss Marvel sometime. Jeez. Either this year or early next year.
Because
right now we know where Monica Rambeau left off, because we know where Monica Rambeau left off. We've never even seen Miss Marvel yet.
Right. Oh. Right.
So sure, we'll be able to connect those dots.
This movie's slated to come out November 11th of next year.
Man,
that's so soon.
Yeah, that's not too far off.
No, not too far at all. Speaking of November releases, Eternals is keeping its November release for November 5th.
Oh, thank God.
That's what they say. As of now, they're saying it's keeping its November 5th release, despite this Delta variant madness.
Cross your fingers and toes, people. Your fingers and toes.
I'm going to go get some extra doses of vaccines. I'm going to get all 5 shots. Probably get superpowers.
Yeah, for sure. It's so interesting to think about Disney's calculus right now on whether it's worth it to make Marvel content in this lull period of like COVID and Delta variants, and like movies are not making as much because people won't go to the movie theater. You know, it was considered a big success this weekend that like Free Guy made like 28 million, because that's just like a good weekend for right now. But like, that's a really bad weekend normally.
Yeah, that's so little. That's so not a lot of money at all, especially for as much as you know they put into it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, Free Guy is freaking awesome. We're supposed to cover it on Bingers Assemble soon. Love it. I think it's great. Saw it yesterday.
Okay.
But it's really, really good. A couple great Marvel references, by the way. Really, really cool.
Wouldn't expect anything less from Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So. Super fun.
I mean, it's like interesting too, because like this whole ScarJo stuff that's happening, like that was because of the hybrid release of theaters and Disney Plus. So
yep.
you know, how, do they do Disney Plus releases going forward for Marvel stuff? I don't know.
They need to get some paper on it if they do, like get some contract signed. I mean, maybe they just decided with ScarJo it was just worth the risk. Like, she's going to sue us, but, and it's even possible they will talk about this. Like, I'm going to have to sue you if you do that. I don't want to sue you, but I'm going to have to. And they're like, it's just, we have to do it. Cause this is what's in my head. It's like either they take a break and lose the momentum that Marvel has, which like most studios can't afford to do, like, let's make movies that don't make money for 2 years while to keep people excited. You know what I mean? But Disney can afford to do that. And right now they have the like most successful franchise of all time. And if they take 2 years off, it's going to lose its steam, you know?
But I feel like you could come to some sort of an additional agreement
100%.
That doesn't have to result in ScarJo suing. But I know nothing about the legal or contract system. So.
Right. Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, again, woefully underqualified to discuss what should or should not happen.
Yeah, honestly, like we're just people sitting at a screen talking into a mic.
Being experts. Shh, don't tell them that we're just people. Okay, just kidding.
Yeah, we're experts.
We're the best. We're the most knowledgeable, I tell you, the most.
I shook James Gunn's hand one time, and Melissa met Brie Larson.
We're Melissa extremely has, qualified.
Look at Melissa the has regularly scheduled meetings with Brie Larson overnight.
She's, like, she's just shaking her head. No, that's not true.
And Jeff saw Chris Evans.
I've breathed the same air as Chris Evans.
Yeah. See, look how qualified we are.
They basically made out. They basically made out, yeah.
Oh, same air.
We did it very close together. That
couple more stories that we have here in the news. We have a showrunner for What If, when asked if there were bigger plans for the What If stories, like Captain Carter, for instance, Brad Winderbaum said all Marvel Studio projects are in some way connected. There's always potential. So that was in the news this week that he's kind of teasing the fact that like they really could bring in something like Captain Carter into the universe.
Does that mean that they're going to get Hayley Atwell to just lift so much
and grow like 6 inches? Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's what it means.
Yes.
She comes back for a lot of like minor roles. So I wouldn't doubt that she would, you know, return for even a cameo of Captain Carter, maybe in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. Ooh, man.
I hope so.
I don't know.
Like a glimpse of her.
I think Hayley Atwell would
handle that.
I think Hayley Atwell would 100% do it. I don't know if it's what they have in the cards for the character or like, you know, it's that classic thing that we've been talking about for years that we've been promised it's all connected. But when it comes down to it, do you put a character that half your audience doesn't know as a cameo in a movie and make them go, what the hell is that? Why is she Captain Carter? You know, would the audience accept that because you're seeing all kinds of other weird stuff flying at them, like other Spider-Men and all this stuff?
They would.
Or would it take you out of it too much? Depends on how it's directed, honestly. I think
if you recall, in Civil War, there were so many people, during Civil War who did not know who Ant-Man was and why he was important and why him becoming big was important. And in Civil War, and they went back and watched Ant-Man after the fact. Like, sure. I have had so many people tell me that, like, I didn't care who Ant-Man was until Civil War happened. And then I'm like, oh, I gotta go find this guy out now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To figure this guy out.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, that's the secret sauce of the crossover that like, if you cross two characters over, you make people go find out who the other character is if they're not watching already. And so like, that's the beauty of it, but it's also its downfall because that's what happened in like the 90s with comics. They made everything into crossovers. You could no longer pick up a comic book and just read 8 issues and enjoy it because everything's crossing over into everything else and you had to kind of read everything to know what's going on. And like at some point it becomes too much for some
people. That's why Marvel Unlimited is so great.
Yeah, for sure.
You get access to all of it. We should really talk to Marvel about getting a code to use to get people some, you know, Marvel Unlimited or something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Rather than just this free advertising that we're giving for them. Got the check.
That whole quote, I feel like, is just like obvious.
Yeah.
Because I feel like at this point, we've got so many different timelines that like really anything can happen. And it's all connected in some way. Like it's not in maybe the original timeline that we're used to.
Right.
Yeah. But in like, some way it is connected.
That's part of the multiverse. Because it exists.
Right.
So like that quote's just obvious. So it's like in other news, water is wet.
I'm astounded.
It's nice to hear creators saying these things are possible. You know what I mean? Like, it's really nice
to hear. It's nice to have it confirmed, even though we know.
Yeah. Like, we understand it, but it's still just nice to know that, like, they're still caring about it all being connected, even though it's all what if, you know? It's all multiverse. Mm-hmm. So, the last story we have is Peacemaker of the Suicide Squad films decided to take to Twitter and make fun of Captain America.
Oh, no.
Did you guys hear about this?
No, but if you want to get on my bad side, this is a good place to start.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty great. Especially those of you who haven't seen Suicide Squad, Peacemaker is a character who is kind of a jerk anyway throughout the movie, and so it's like you're watching him and you're just like,
he's not making peace.
These are things he would say. Like these are all things he would say. And you know he's hashtag what is it was in light of What If coming out, and he says hashtag what if Captain America wasn't a if Captain America wasn't sorry hashtag what if Captain America wasn't a giant wimp and was at least five times stronger, he would be me, Peacemaker said on Twitter. Just like he kept responding to everyone. He says the weasel is better than Captain America, and you've seen that thing. Talking about Weasel from the movie. He said, someone said, what if Captain America was thorough? And he responded, his buddy would still have two arms.
Oof.
Just like really going after Captain America, which I just thought was funny from a marketing standpoint. Like, I don't know.
We'll let the intern have the Twitter for the day.
Right? I think these are really bad jokes. They're not even good jokes, but I find it funny that like, he's just going after him. And like, he's also not that clever in the movie. So it kind of all just like fits his character a little bit.
Oh, okay.
He's like,
that makes sense. Cause like I was reading like the tweets when I saw him last week and was like, these aren't good roasts. Like these aren't good. But if it fits the character, like in the movie, I'm fine with it.
I think it does. I mean, like it would have been better if they were better roasts. Also, I don't know if you guys know it, but, Peacemaker, the character from the movie, is being spun off into a TV series on HBO.
I heard that, yeah.
I am floored for it because James Gunn wrote it. He's like, apparently the COVID shutdown happened and James Gunn was like, what do I do with all this free time? Why don't I write a, like, whatever, 6 or 10 episode treatment of this pilot for, for Peacemaker? Cause he was just done making the Suicide Squad. And so he apparently just went and made a full season, like wrote a full season of the Peacemaker show.
Like, okay. When you get the time, you know.
Right?
So anyway, I think it's good. I'm excited about it. We're going to cover it on Panavision, I think.
It's kind of funny that that they got somebody to do bad roasts from a character that, like, I would say the larger part of the Marvel movie-going audience doesn't recognize. So, like, their attempt to get some light shined on their character was just kind of like, who the hell is this guy? Like, it would result in basically all the Marvel fans being like, who the hell do you think you are?
Just being like, but also
why though?
I mean, and you guys can blame me for this because I do love the movie, but like we're talking about it, you know, that's the whole point. The internet was talking about it. There were tons of articles on every like whatever, you know, oh look, the official Peacemaker thing is roasting Captain America, because they're kind of, Peacemaker is an American, like, you know, beacon of freedom type character, and so it fits the character to be sort of like, but he's like a dark version that doesn't have the moral fortitude that Captain America has. So it's...
Oh, so he's U.S. agent.
Kind of, but not. I mean, he's close. Like, in just pure characterization, probably closer to U.S. agent.
Okay. How do we have a discount? Captain America.
So much of a bitter roast.
What do you think the D in DC is for?
Like, I mean, if John Walker was great value, Captain America, what does that make this guy? Like, what's lower than great value?
Dollar General, probably. Mm.
No, that's still too nice. We're talking about DC here, Jeff.
Oh, sorry. Thrift store?
Like a card on the side of the road. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know the stuff that gets stuck in the sewer grates when it rains?
He's that Captain America.
He is. He fully is. And, like, I'm really excited for his TV show.
I'm really sorry. I just, like, trashed all over this character you're really excited for.
No, but he deserves being trashed all over. I love it.
Yeah, that's what you get for coming after my guy. Like, no, don't come after... You know, I take back my apology.
I want to talk more openly about who the character is, but I can't without spoiling the movie. So everybody go watch that so we can talk about it openly.
This is the character who in the auditorium in the trailer was like, starfish is a euphemism for butthole. That had anything to do with it.
That's correct.
Great. I'm so glad that character is getting a spinoff TV show.
Me too. He has a line in the movie to give you a sense of the kind of character he is. He says, I love freedom, or I love peace, and to create peace, it doesn't matter how many men, women, and children I have to kill. It's just like, oh no.
Whale.
I have some questions.
I don't know if I fully subscribe to your... philosophy, sir.
Yeah, like, there's a few key differences in our ways of thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So what else we got in the news? Is that all?
That's all the news. Let's dive into some feedback. Jeff, yeah, throw some feedback at us.
Russell Brill, one of our patrons, says, we talk about the quote-unquote sacred timeline. However, it was He Who Remains' chosen timeline. I don't really think it has any claim to be sacred. It's just the one we've been privy to. What do you think, pandas?
100%. I've been saying this since the first episode of Loki. But yes, I didn't know He Who Remains was involved, but I've been saying it. And everyone keeps talking about, like, what about the benevolent version of Kang? I'm like, he's not benevolent. That's just what he said. Stop trusting the maniac who's controlling everyone's fate. Stop it. No one trusts him. Thank you, Russell.
We call it the sacred timeline because that's what it was called in our little intro video to what it is. And changing the name at this point to He Who Remains Chosen Timeline to get to the point to where it's exactly where he wants to be timeline is too much of a mouthful, Matt. Right. Sacred timeline, and we all know. We all just know at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not saying we have to stop calling it sacred timeline. I agree with Russell that, like, He Who Remains is not good. And his timeline is not necessarily sacred. Just what we call it.
I would say it's not sacred. Maybe it doesn't deserve the title, but, like, it's what we've got. You know, we don't have any alternative at this point that is suitable.
Right.
Yeah. Semantics. Well,
we often call it the main MCU timeline, things like that.
Like Melissa said, semantics.
Yeah.
It's all semantics.
Totally. Sacred or MCU, they both mean the same thing.
Jessica Mai, one of our patrons, was discussing our What If We What If episode, where we brought on BVK and Haley Hobbs and Dylan Diggs to talk about our What If scenarios. She says, halfway through the episode and I already have been on a whirlwind of emotion. Dylan crushed my poor little heart. Jeff doubting Tony's genius. Haley made Sam petty. And it got so much worse. Fantastic episode, everyone.
I listened to that today, actually, and I fully agree with everything that Jeff said.
It was a whirlwind, and I gotta say, like, remembering how that went, Dylan broke my heart over and over and over again.
Yeah, what does that guy have against, like, people life? Being happy.
What does Dylan have against happiness? Life?
He's like, you know how there's like different kinds of ethics and some people are utilitarians? Like they want the most happiness for the most people. Dylan is the opposite of a utilitarian.
he's no one gets to be happy.
It's like kidding. Everybody has to have the same level of happiness, zero.
Yeah. Bring everybody down to the same level.
Lowest common denominator, guys. Come on. Just bring it all down.
Like, how many times did he kill Peter Parker?
So many
times. In his little scenario.
He kills everybody. Like, he went out of his way to kill Peter Parker. He was like, we're going to drop a nuke on New York. And by the way, guess who else lives in New York? Peter Parker. He's too young to do anything about it. I'm like, dude, why? Like, and then we're going to bulldoze all of New York and all the people, and they're all going to get run over by everything. Guess what? Peter Parker's in there. I'm like, why does this happen? Like, he made up new and inventive ways of killing Peter Parker, and I don't like it.
I liked it, Dylan. I liked it.
It's very creative, but I hated it.
Well, it was great because it like completely destroyed the Marvel Universe with like one action.
Yeah, right.
And I liked it. Mm-hmm.
It's like a thanks, I hate it kind of situation. Like, oh, that was fun. It was a fun discussion. I don't like how I felt about it.
I get that.
Each of those scenarios hurt me.
Yeah, for sure.
It looks like we have somebody else, Haruka, she, her, on Twitter. Also talking about that episode. Yo, I'm listening to your What If We What If episode. And guys, the answer to What If New York Got Bombed is X-Men. NYC may be demolished, but I'm thinking of the surrounding areas that would have been irradiated, which might create mutants in the people who survived.
I love how everyone brings up like any kind of radiation that encounters the MCU. Like everyone's like, this is how we're getting mutants. This is how, even in our What If episode. But I like it. I like the creativity. And isn't the mansion in upstate New York?
Yeah, it's in upstate New York.
Right.
The compound.
It's not like anywhere near NYC. Like
sure, but depending on how Manhattan. Big the blast radius was and the radiation spillover.
I think upstate's like 4 hours away from the city.
Yeah, New York's pretty big.
Gotcha.
Big state.
Listening to that episode like got me thinking, like, what would happen? I feel like Thanos just comes down, grabs his stones, is like, bye, bitch, and just like demolishes everything. Like that was bye, my bitch. Thought. Like people are like, oh, mutants, and I'm just like, I think Thanos just is like, my stones. I have my mind and my space stones now.
Thanos yelling, my stones is really
my
funny.
Precious.
Yeah, my precious.
Gollum.
Yeah.
I can just imagine Thanos like hunched over, like, and, like, you know, doing the like the lumbering back to his ship with the stones. He's like, my precious.
God. I mean, at that point, he has two stones, and what, the time stones across the street?
The time stone would have been caught in the blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably just sitting in the rubble somewhere.
Probably. Like, he's got three stones at that point. He's halfway there.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably demolishes the world at that point.
Just having the space stone and the mind stone and, you know, even the time stone at that point, like, that's enough to make him the most dangerous being in the universe. Like, he can go anywhere he wants. He can control minds. You know, like, he can rewind time if he got if he went and got that one. Like, Jesus.
Like, Banner even says in Infinity War, he's got two stones and he's already the most powerful being in the universe. Like, he's got three in this scenario.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, got no chance. Plus, the Avengers are dead.
Even just the two that he had, though, like the power and the space stone, like those together are real skronk.
Yeah, you can wreck house, like go anywhere and destroy anything. Like what are you going
to do? That makes those real strong. But like those other three that we're talking about, like they're still really powerful. Like it's real good to have those.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right.
So Thanos whoops everybody's ass. That's what we ended up on.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I like the thought there that like he was literally watching that portal close. So like he would totally have come on in. You're right. Of course, I guess maybe the nuke would take out the portal generator. Maybe.
Yeah, it would wreck the portal generator, and like that device. So, like we said that in that episode, like it would destroy that device. So like the portal generator would be turned off, but he was still able to activate the Tesseract remotely.
That's true.
If memory serves.
If I remember correctly, they said that with the generator, he could make something big enough to bring an army through.
Right. He could open it big enough and wide enough and for long enough.
For the Leviathans.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, even if the portal doesn't work and he can't activate the Tesseract, he knows where it is. He could just jump.
Yeah.
Just, you know, scoot on over to the other side of space.
Just scoop my way on across.
Scoop my stones up and be on my merry way.
Scooch on over to the other side.
You guys seem like you're having a bad day here, all this radiation. I'm gonna grab some of this. Y'all, don't mind me.
Sorry to make your day worse. I'll be in and out.
I'll go. I gotta grab one thing. Okay, like three things. Excuse me. Don't
this wasn't me. I didn't do any of this. It was like this when I found it.
This was you. You did this.
This is the long-haired one. Okay? This is the long-haired one's fault, okay? I'm just here to pick up what I deserve, and I'll be on my way, okay?
Is this your Schitt's Creek character voice coming out again?
Jeffrey, how could you say that? I can't believe you would say that type of thing to me.
I'm sorry. I still haven't seen the show.
See, it makes no sense, but it's funny though, right?
Yeah, it's still
good
funny.
Character voice. Good character voice.
Thank you.
I like it. You should keep that one.
Thank you. I will talk like this all the time from now on.
Please don't.
Just like I did at the Nutcracker Theater where I opened my first film.
What the hell?
Again, this makes more sense if you've seen the show.
People that have seen Schitt's Creek are loving it.
Yeah. The Schitt's Creek fans out there.
Yeah. All those the MCU Schitt's Creek crossover fans.
Yep.
Some overlap there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Emma Parker said, hi. Blah, 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 blah. That's not what she said.
Whoa.
Related to Melissa again.
Yeah. Again, a family name.
Emma Parker said, hey, guys, I've been a listener for a while now, and I've just now decided to write in. So, first time, long time. Me and my brother were talking, and he came up with a theory that was so good, I had to share it. In the comics, a young Nathaniel Richards becomes Iron Lad after he shut down Kang. What if in the MCU/MCM he joined up with Kang? It would be pretty cool to see Kang and a bunch of variants of himself fight Ant-Man. Maybe in the end he can become good and become Iron Lad. I really don't care as long as we get a new Iron Man. I just wanted to know what you thought about this. Keep up the great work. Love you, 3000. Emma.
Thanks, Emma. Thanks for writing in, finally.
Finally? God, for a while now.
First time, long time.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely a good idea. And the thing is about the multiverse, there might be lots of versions of Kang that did accept. I mean, there obviously are a lot of versions of Kang that do accept the help of an older Kang to become the newer, better version of Kang. Like, that's a big part of his character. So the interesting about Iron Lad is that he didn't. But I do think that, like, they're definitely missing an opportunity if they don't bring in, like, multiple versions of Kang into the Quantumania. Like, movie.
Well, what if... Because
the show, that side.
What if, you know, we get a young Iron Lad that's being a jerk, and then out of nowhere, boom, young Iron Lad who's not a jerk, like, decks him.
Sure.
And then they have a fight, and Scott's like, what the hell is going on here?
You get that classic, like, Kirk moment where he's like, no, kill him. No, kill him.
Yeah. No, he's the bad guy.
Yeah. Like it.
And you know it's a good one because he says, you can't make a good decision, kill us both.
Mm-hmm. The sacrificial one.
Yeah, right as he's about to pull the trigger on the bad one, older Kang shows up, blah, takes it to the chest.
Ooh.
Always, that would be so funny if, like, all we see of Kang is Jonathan Majors showing up to be murdered in, like, a scene. Like, immediately killed. He pops in... dead.
That would be a real Ralph Boner kind of situation where, like, we all were, like, so excited about Kang for all this time, and then it's just another Boner joke.
Yep. He just shows up and gets stabbed.
He shows up, gets stabbed, and says, "What a boner," as he falls dead.
Yeah.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Because multiverse, it's a possibility. Or no, because multiverse, it exists.
It's a certainty.
It's a certainty. Oh, that's a great place to end it. Let's wrap this one up.
So that's why Emma's never written in before.
We just end all her feedback on a boner joke. Yeah, that's fair. It's fair.
Please forgive us, Emma.
Emma, you can write back in and we won't make the next one a boner joke.
I can't promise that. I will remember. Emma.
Yes.
It's just like not a promise I can make.
We're not going to make that promise.
I'll try.
All right. Michelle Kuchera is up next. She says, in prep for What If, my brother and I watched Peggy Carter's Legends episode that they released the same day. We were so surprised to see a brief flash of footage from ABC's Agent Carter. What does this mean? Is it canon? Thanks, Michelle.
It better be.
She also says, P.S. My brother and I are in our 30s and bonded in the pandemic by watching all things Marvel together. I thought it could have read as if we were kids.
Yeah, that's totally funny.
That's great. So, yes. I mean,
at least that scene is canon. Just depends on when they decide to do something that isn't canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I thought that Agent Carter was brought canon, like, because we saw that version of Jarvis in Endgame.
Agreed, but if they ever wanted to do something that was, if they ever was like, let's say they wanted to make the dark dimension something different than it was in Agent Carter, I don't think they would hesitate to like change the way they view something because of something Agent Carter did.
Yeah,
and so like I think as of now it's canon, but I think they could easily decanonize some parts of it by like changing small things. But now that the multiverse exists, it's just like, oh, that was just a different little, you know,
that was a variant.
Meh.
Little meh.
It does make me nervous though that they didn't. It was like a single shot.
That's I think so
from Agent Carter, and like there was so much to her story in that series that it makes me concerned that they put in one singular shot into, you know, this full story breakdown of Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is weird. Like, they don't even talk about it. I haven't seen that Legends yet.
Man, the emotional struggle needed to pour out Steve's final vial over the river. Like, that is such a... Yeah, exactly. I know. I know, Melissa. I'm sorry.
Like, why?
It's such a harsh moment to have to like work through with Peggy, and like if you're not acknowledging that, if you're saying that that's not real, what are these feelings then?
It was real to me.
It was real to me. Oh, no, Yelena.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
Let's move on.
We definitely should like find that audio and make a TikTok of like the different shows that Marvel is decanonizing slowly and be like, it was real to me.
Except for Inhumans, they can keep that shit. That can be burned down.
The only Inhuman that matters is Daisy Johnson.
You're damn right.
It's the only one I care about.
Truth.
I still want to know whatever happened to Joey.
Yeah, that was never explained.
He disappeared.
He killed a guy, and then he's like, this ain't for me, and then never heard from again.
Which one was Joey? I'm sorry.
He's
the guy that can melt.
Melted metal. And melded metal into whatever he wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Since season 3.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of little, like, Inhumans that are mentioned or thrown in for one episode that don't die, and they're still kicking around.
Well, remember that one, the senator's brother that they killed?
Yeah, he got shot and went into the thing and then, or into the ocean, and then got put back in a cocoon, and then it's just like, that's not...
Yeah, there's just a cocoon on the bottom of the ocean they never addressed again.
Yep.
It's just there still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So.
I do. That one particularly bothered me.
Vijay?
Yeah,
Vijay Nadir.
Right.
Nadir. Yep.
Golly. That's why she's the trivia queen, everybody.
Yep. I didn't want to commit to the name because I wasn't sure. I was like, I think it's Vijay.
It is.
And I don't want to commit to Nadir, but I should have just gone for it. I should have gone for it.
You got to trust your gut.
I'm going to read this next one because I'm mad at Jake. I'm not really mad at you, Jake. I'm mad at Jeff because I wrote him back. I wrote him back sort of angrily joking. I hope he took it that way. Jake says on Twitter, what if Nathaniel Richards fed the correct calculations to Friday, allowing Stark to figure out time travel? Just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, you guys stop trying to take away his understanding of quantum mechanics. Like, he's smart. He figures out things. Everybody keeps wanting to take away all of Tony Stark's good things that he did. He invented time travel. Tony Stark did it.
He's a very smart man. I will say, it is odd that none of his research or his specialty involved the quantum realm or anything like that before, and then in a night, suddenly he's an expert. I will say it is a little odd.
Well, that's his MO, though. What's the thing? What was the line?
The line in OG Avengers. When did you become an expert in thermonuclear astrophysics?
Yeah, and he's like, last night.
Last night.
Am I the only one that did the reading?
It's a good point. I mean, but like, who provided the reading this time? Nobody.
Well, he just like kind of knew. He also like knew quantum mechanics. Like when they walk up on his step and they say, what about time travel? He's like, you can't do it. You got the Planck principle and the this. And he starts naming all the things. He already knew quantum mechanics really well. He knew the reasons it shouldn't work. And then he like found out there was a way to the quantum realm. And then he's like, well, if I have this way to the quantum realm and I know how to, all I need to do is figure out how to navigate it. And then he goes into his little, he goes into the lab and cooks something up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Totally makes sense. Tony did it.
He's a smart man. Couldn't figure out how to put Vision Stone together to work collectively. But, you know, it's fine. He could figure out time travel
in
a night.
I'm sure he did his best.
Vision Stone together. Oh, like with the...
With Shuri, remember when she was like, right. Why didn't you just reprogram the synopsis to work collectively?
That's right. Sorry, I was trying to think because he wasn't there. I was confused for a second because he wasn't there, but he did make Vision.
Yeah, he was a large part of it, yeah. Although, it's technically Ultron that put the body together.
Mm-hmm.
But Ultron's also based on Tony, so...
But Ultron's based on Tony as well, so...
All of Tony's knowledge went into Ultron's knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's the best at everything. I'm not saying there aren't people out there that are better. But stop trying to take away all of his accomplishments. He invented time travel. Marty McFly would be nothing without Tony Stark.
Marty McFly is nothing.
Now that's bullshit.
No. Back to the Future is bullshit.
So, Melissa, did you have anybody write anything in the live feed?
Yes, we have one piece of feedback on Loki from SparkSam85. They say, okay, the ships that left He Who Remains Castle, who do you think is in them? Secondly, at the end, when the timeline is branching, did anyone else notice a pair of eyes in the sky? I thought it looked like Galactus. My wife watched, and she thought it looked like the Watcher. I would like your thoughts on both. Keep up the great work.
Ooh, I haven't seen the eyes... And that's a really good question about the ship, because the ship I felt like was really clearly there in that previous episode when that portal opened. It also looked kind of like maybe like gravity was weird and it was picking something up in the storm kind of thing. Like that was what I was thinking when I first watched it, was it was either a ship taking off or like an asteroid breaking off or something. So could be either one. But if it is someone leaving, then it's probably a version of Kang or something, right?
Yeah, it would have to be.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm going to pull up.
Maybe it was the other three.
Didn't we? I feel like we talked about that particular ship looking like something else.
No.
That was in the beginning sequence where they're flying through and we have all the different quotes, like the Greta Thunberg.
Right.
Yeah, there's a ship that flies toward it, which was confirmed. Yeah. I don't know. No, I don't know if it was confirmed, but I have seen a YouTube video of someone breaking down what ship that is, and it's crazy. Okay, I think it was New Rockstars did a video on like who that ship was. We were talking about it last week and we couldn't figure it out. It was the Collector's ship.
He has a ship?
Yes.
Which we don't ever see it in its full like glory, but in the background of the collector's office, you can see the front of that ship and the wings off to the side. It's like covered, those little pods are kind of covering most of it, but that is the ship that we see in the beginning intro of Loki.
Can someone get us a screenshot on that?
We'll figure it out later. Go watch the new Rockstars. It's pretty convincing. It's back there. It's back there.
Are you telling people to listen to other content that is not yours?
I refuse. You know,
they're way bigger than us.
I refuse.
They got way better research budgets than we do, which is zero.
Yeah. I refuse to patronize the competition.
But no. But their theory was actually that the collector, if you watch that moment, the collector is like heading out towards, like heading away from that sort of galaxies that are spinning or whatever. And like their theory was that the collector knew that it was coming, the destruction of the timeline. And he was like trying to get beyond some sort of event horizon so he could survive with his collection.
Weird.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't really buy that at all, but.
I mean, it's interesting.
It's an interesting idea, The idea that, like, what if it is a cycle and the universe keeps being destroyed and recreated in the image of whatever new Kang decides to be, but the collector, the reason he collects, he's like a Noah who brings, like, the collection of things he collected into the next universe. I like that idea. It's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
It is an interesting idea. I don't know. And it seems kind of weird to have a guy being like, my things, and like going to a different universe, but
is the collector. He's already halfway there. He's already doing my things. And he's also a super old being who like would want to survive. If the universe was being destroyed and recreated, he'd want to survive, you know?
Yeah, but like, shouldn't he just have an insurance policy and all that stuff? Like, that's what BVK does.
Space insurance.
Yeah.
Do you think they have insurance on nowhere?
I don't think an insurance company is going to survive the big collapse of a universe.
You know, it just depends on where you go. You gotta talk to the right people.
You gotta
get a good rate.
The TVA is only one of the organizations that lives in the quantum realm. Yeah, there's also various insurance agencies.
No, that's one of the divisions of the TVA.
Yeah,
it's like State Farm. It's like Multiverse Farm or something.
Yeah, that's where Jake from State Farm gets all his powers. The quantum realm.
It was Jake from State Farm all along.
It's been Jake from State Farm all along.
Okay, guys, it's been a lot of fun hanging out with y'all today. We'll be back probably tomorrow with a What If feedback episode. And then we'll be back on Tuesday night with our late night.
Wednesday morning. Let's be real. It's Wednesday morning.
Wee hours What If, as it were. So we'll be Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at 2 a.m. We're going to be covering What If. So come do the live watch with us. There will be a link in the description. Come follow along. It'll be super fun. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
I'm not going to do it this time.
Oh, come on.
I'm not going to do it.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.